following Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the third line from the top. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Mariv Atma B'Shnei Rava, and anybody who starves himself during years of hunger, like he doesn't eat as much as he normally does, as much as he normally would, Nitzum Amisim Mishuna, is in reward for that, he's saved from an unnatural death. Unnatural meaning, Rashi says, for example, like by a sword or by hunger or anything where a person doesn't die of natural causes is called a Mitzvah Mishuna. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Bera'ah patcha mimavet." The pasuk says, "In or with hunger, he saved you from death." It's not even "Meira'ah mibayulei." It should say, "From hunger." Meaning, you know, in the hunger, he saves you from hunger. And in the reward that somebody starves himself during years of hunger, he saved from an unnatural death. What's that amount? I think Ben Yariyada says that the person should eat a quarter of what he used to during years of hunger. Not so much to let other people. First of all, this way his own food will stretch further. It could be a lot of reasons. One of them is that his own food will stretch further. One is that he'll have enough for other people. And also, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, you want to do things in a way that you're joining together with the tzibur in the tzara. So if everybody else is having a hard time with it, yeah. There's something along those lines of one of the Mefarshim says that this is why Yosef tells the people of Mitzrayim to set aside one-fifth of their grain to last them through the years of hunger. Something along the lines of, in years of plenty, a person will eat much more than he usually does. In a year of hunger, like when a year of famine, like we're saying over here, a person will eat a quarter of what he normally eats. So if you set aside
a quarter
of what a person normally eats in regular years, whereas in extra plenty years, like the 7 years of plenty, in Mitzrayim, a person will eat more than he usually does. So if you set aside one quarter of what you have in the years of plenty, or one-fifth, rather, of what you have in the years of plenty, then it'll just last you throughout those 7 years of famine. Something like that. There was a whole calculation. I don't remember the details. Anyway, Omer Shlokish, or Shlokish says another din. Also, Adam L'shamash Mitasa B'Shnei Ravon. A person is not allowed to have relations during years of famine. Again, because the basic idea is because a person has to act with tzar. He himself may be doing well, but everybody else is not. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Yosef yulad shnei banim b'terem tavish nasarav. It says, to Yosef were born two sons before the years of famine came. Implying it had to be before, because after that he wouldn't have been having relations with Asnath to be able to have any children.
Is that because during the
Rav,
the children cannot be raised?
No, that's what we're saying. Rashi says because the tzarech adam lunag tzar ba'atme. A person has to act. A person has to act in a way of tzar. The whole world is in tzar, so he also has to act that way. Tana, however, we learn in the Raisa, chasuche vanim, people who don't have children. And actually, Rashi says it doesn't mean who don't have children at all. Rashi says it means that they haven't done the mitzvah of piri v'rivia. The Gemara discusses in Yevamos Machlokes Shammai B'Silul whether you have to have two boys or a boy and a girl. So if a person has not yet had whatever halacha is like B'Silul, so a boy and a girl, then Mishamshin Mitisei and Mishnei Rabin, then they are allowed to have relations during years of famine as well because they have to fulfill Piri V'Rivia. Which, this brings into a discussion, Tosfos asks the question, we find that Yecheved, where the daughter of Levi, was born as they're coming into Mitzrayim. The famine was in its second year by that time. So that implies that they had already that he'd had relations, obviously, during the years of famine. How is that? We're saying over here that you're not supposed to. So Tosfos says that if you want to act with Midas Chassidus, then that's what you do. Yosef acted with Midas Chassidus, Levi not necessarily. Which then all the Mefarshim come in on that. What are you talking about? Levi should not act with Midas Chassidus. He who Tumecho v'Urachol Ish Chassidecho, the pasuk says on him, his descendants are Moshe and Aaron. You can imagine what kind of chassid he himself was. What do you mean he didn't fulfill that? So there's a lot of different explanations. One of them being that we're saying that no one should, as a basic thing, no one should be doing it. If you haven't been Mekayim Piri V'Rivia, then you have some people will be machmer on themselves, like Yosef, and not even have relations then, because Yosef himself hadn't been Mekayim Piri V'Rivia at that point. He only had boys. He only had Menashe and Ephraim, and yet we're saying that he stopped being Meshamish Mitzvah after the years of famine came. We never find that he had daughters. So Levi hadn't had a daughter yet. He didn't hold by that, so he held that you can still be Meshamish Mitzvah then in order to be Mekayim Piri V'Rivia. No, there's different Mefarshim talk about that. There's other possibilities also. They And they talk about that maybe indeed the pasuk is not talking either about really, in other words, even though it's mentioning Yosef, it's not really telling us what Yosef himself did. Yosef himself technically could be Meshamash Mitaso even later on because he didn't have a daughter yet. But it's so, you know, more generally, therefore, we learn from this that if a person has been Mekayim, then they're not allowed to.
Even a king has to be
Yosef. Rashtos, yeah, even a king. And there's also there's a discussion, does this apply all the time? Does it apply to Leil Tevila? That might be a difference also. That some of the Mechorshim answer that there's a difference. Maybe Levi only had relations on the night as went to the as wife went to the mikveh. That's different. Yeah. There's a lot of discussion about it in Halacha. When the Jewish people are in trouble, are in pain, and one of them goes away, he like leaves the klal, and he says, okay, so they're having trouble, big deal, it doesn't affect me. But which going back to Yosef and Levi, theoretically, also some of the Mefarshim talk about the idea that Yosef knew that his family back in Canaan are having trouble because he knows that the famine is affecting the whole civilized world. They didn't know where Yosef is. As far as they knew, Yosef has disappeared. They themselves had to. We said yesterday that Yaakov is telling them why you're showing off that you have. So therefore, there's an argument to be made also that they didn't have to be machmer on themselves yet. Anyway. So here we have, if you have the Jewish people of Bitzar, who Peter Shechemhen, Boin Shnei Malach HaSharetz from Alav and Adam, the two Malach HaSharetz who accompany a person, come, Umanichan La Yidei and Arosha, they place their hands on his head, Va'omrim, and they say, Ploini Zesh Peter from Asibur, this person who kept himself away from the Sibur, Al Yidab and Acham Asibur, he doesn't deserve to see the consolation of the Sibur, when eventually the Sarah is over, he doesn't deserve to join in with that. Tanya, you know, we learn in a different right. Meaning, in other words, that's, yeah. Tanya, you know, we learn in a different right. It was manshat tibur shori b'sar, when tibur is in trouble. Al yom adam eilach l'beisi v'oichol v'eshte v'sholom alacha nafshi. A person shouldn't say, oh, I'll go home, I'll eat and drink, and I'm doing just fine. V'im oichol kain. And if he does that, all of our kosev aimer on such a person, the pasuk says, v'hinei sasin v'simcha, that behold, there are people who are happy and joyful, horeg bako v'shachot zayin, they're killing cattle, they're shechting sheep. They're eating meat and drinking wine. They're saying, let's eat and drink, tomorrow we'll die. And what does the very next pasuk say? It was revealed in my ears, Hashem Tzvakos said, that this Aveda will not be forgiven to you until you die. So we see how serious it is to keep away from the Tzibur and to say, you know what, I'm doing fine, I don't have to worry about that. Ad kan midas beinanim. Then that pasuk is talking about the midah of the beinanim, the average people, where at least, you know, they do acknowledge kimacho namus, that eventually we're going to die. So, you know, in a way that they at least have that in their favor. So the Eibishter is saying, yeah, eventually you're going to die, and when you do, that aveira, only then will this aveira be neskaper to you. This is it's a form of chilul Hashem, and we learned at the end of Yuma that chilul Hashem is one of those things that only when a person passes away is it completely neskaper. However, Abov Midas Rishoyim Maxi, what does it say when it comes to Rishoyim? The pasuk says about them, they say, Esoyu, come, Ekhayayim, let me buy wine, V'nisva Asheicher, and we'll become drunk on strong wine, V'hoya Kazeh Yom Macher, and like this, we'll be tomorrow, we'll have a Gadol Yoy Tzmoy, the pasuk finishes off, we'll have an even bigger party tomorrow. Like, they don't even consider the fact that eventually they're going to die. As far as they're concerned, it's just one bigger party after the next. Maxiv Basri, so what does the next pasuk say? Hatzadik Ova, the tzadik is lost from the world. The Ein Ish Tzmalev, nobody is paying attention. And why is the tzadik dying? Kimipnei ha-ra, nesav ha-tzadik. The tzadik is being gathered in, he's passing away before the ra comes. Meaning that the Eibishter is saying, as when people act like that, then there's going to be ra coming to the world, there's going to be evil coming to the world, and so the Eibishter takes away the tzaddik, so he shouldn't have to join in that tzar. So but that's when the Rishoyim are acting like that, like, you know, we'll just have a grand old time, there's no tomorrow. Second explanation, Rashi says, is that the Eibishter figure is if the tzaddik is around, he's going to daven for the dur. The Eibishter doesn't want that the tzaddik should daven for such people, so therefore he removes him from the world, and then therefore they're, yeah.
Punished in a way for the tzibah.
Well, not really in a way, but he's removed from the world in order that this way the punishment can come on the... What? No, because there's two different things. One is that the Eibishter removes the tzaddik so he doesn't have to suffer from the tzar, and the other is so he can't daven to prevent the tzar from happening in the first place. Hey, we're explaining there's the two different ways. When the pasuk is kimipnei ha-ra, Is it before the evil comes, the tzaddik is removed so he doesn't have to suffer from it? Or is it before the evil comes because as long as the tzaddik's around, the evil can't happen? That's the idea. Okay, it's two different nuances, yeah. Yeah, okay. Eli, Yitzhar Adam Mimei Tzibur. But no, a person should always join in the Tzar of Tzibur, and on the side it says that he would quote from Shiltus, this version of the Gemara, is even a Tzadik Gomer has to join in with the Tzar of Tzibur. Shekein Matzinim, but Moshe Rabbeinu Shetzir Atmei Matzibur, so we find with Moshe Rabbeinu that he had Tzar along with the Tzibur. Shenema, V'yidei Moshe Kvedim, the Pasuk says, by the war with Amalek, Moshe's hands are heavy, V'yikhu Evan, they brought a stone, V'yisimu Tachta, V'yeshev Aleo, and they put the stone underneath him, and he sat on it. Now, what do you mean? He had to sit on a stone. Moshe didn't have a single pillow or a single cushion to sit on. Moshe said, since the Jewish people are in Tzar, now this is, remember, we're talking about the low-level Jewish people also. These are the Shevet Dan, the people who are worshipping Avodah or whatever, the ones who were kicked out of the Anani HaKavod, and therefore the ones that Amalek is able to attack. But still, they're in Tzar, so then, I'll join with them in Tzar also. I'm not going to sit on a comfortable seat. And v'cholam etzayr atzmei matzibur. Anybody who joins together in the tzayr of the tzibur, zoicha v'roya v'nechama tzibur, he's zoicha, and he's able to see in the nechama of the tzibur when eventually they're saved. I don't understand. Moshe did join in the tzayr of the tzibur. Because in those times, because at that time you didn't have anybody saying, oh, we're just going to have a grand old time, we don't have to join together with the Tzibur. We're saying, when you have people who take that view, then the Ebishna says, I have to punish them, and therefore they're the Tzadik. Okay. The Shema Yoma Adam Mi made be, so a person might ask, well, I'm not asking with Tzad, but big deal, I'm doing it in the privacy of my house, who's going to say Ebishna on me? The answer is Avne Beis Shaladim Bakodas Beis Shaladim Me'edim Bo. The stones of a person's house and the beams of a person's house can give Edus on him. Shenema, the pasuk says Ki Evan Mekir Tizak, a stone will cry out from the wall. The Kofis Me'et Yanena, and a Kofis is a half brick. Me'et from the wood, because Rashi explains they used to when they built buildings out of half brick. The Gemara discusses it at the beginning of Bava Basra. They would often put them inside a framework of wood. So the kofis me'et yanena will answer back to it. So we see that even though the inanimate objects are able to speak about what a person's doing, there's the famous verse in Hayom Yom based on this pasuk that the very street cries out or will cry out about people who walked on it and when we're talking to Rei Torah or we're talking to Rav Salem or whatever. It's in Hayom Yom. In the yeshiva of Rav Shila, they said, Shnei malacha asharis, amalav and lalo adam, hen mi'idin olav. The true malacha asharis that we said before, who always accompany a person, are the ones who say edus on him. Incidentally, I mean, this thing about malacha asharis accompanying a person, there is actually a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, technically, before we had it back in Brachos, that when a person goes to the bathroom, he's supposed to take leave of those malachim. There's a short line he's supposed to say, he's kabdu mechubadim, to tell them, like, please wait outside, I'm a human being, I have to go to the bathroom, and, you know, but you don't have to accompany me in here. Nowadays, we don't say that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because we don't hold that we're on such a level that we actually have two malachim accompanying us all the time. But even those people who did, then, yeah, so they have the... It's a line over there, you, the honorable ones, be honored and take your leave from me temporarily. It's a line over there, a line or two, that, yeah. Reb Chidka, I mean, Nishmas Nishaladim, Yimidala, Reb Chidka says the person's neshama gives edus on him. Shenema, Mishachavas Chekecha, from the one that rests in your bosom, meaning your neshama that's inside you, Shmo Pitzche Picha, watch, guard the openings of your mouth. In other words, watch what you're saying. Your neshama is able to is able to give edus on you. And others say the limbs of a person give edus on him. Shenema, Atem Edai Nu'um Hashem. You, plural, are my edim, says Hashem. So Marshall talks about that actually all of these things are true, each in a different way. That you have, because we're saying Atem Edai, you, plural, are my edim. So who's the plural? Who is the Eidosha talking to collectively? So the simple meaning of the pasuk is he's saying to the Jewish people, you're my edim in the world. But here the Gemara is saying in the sense that within a person himself, there's not just one thing, which is the neshama, there's many different things. So Marsha talks about that you can have a case, for example, you can have a person who's over on a lav where instead of doing an essay, he does a lav. Two, he's over on an essay by not doing anything. And the third is he speaks. So therefore, you have these different kinds of things, that you have the malach ha'asharet are telling him that you have a person is supposed to have malachim corresponding to the days of the year. There's 365 loisa, says there's 365 days in a year. So then, the person is doing an avera. Then the malachim give edus on him. But then you have when he speaks, then it's his neshama, because it's the neshama that gives him the power of speech. When he fails to do an esser, then that's he didn't use his avodim, he didn't use his limbs to do that, and therefore his limbs are the ones that give edus that he failed to do it.
Then he does tshuva.
Of course. The pasuk says, "Kev amuna ve'ein aval." Hashem is trustworthy, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Which means kev amuna, which means k'shem shenifroim min harishayim la'olam haba afil al avera kalashar. He said, just as the rishayim are punished in olam haba even for the smallest avera that they did, as the Rambam has an expression, I think the Rambam says, that even though, for example, Yeravam and Nevat did the most terrible averas, he set up Egle Azahab, he prevented the Jewish people from being Olu Regal, he did all kinds of war, he was Choto Maktes Rabim, nevertheless, when it comes to his din, b'cheshman, and Shemayim, the Eivishter also is dealing with him for the fact, let's say, that he didn't put on tefillin. Which you might think, he didn't put on tefillin, it's a small thing relative to the, but nevertheless, every little thing counts. And vice versa, every little mitzvah also counts. So just as the Rishoyim are punished for even small averas they did, kach nefreim and tzedekim b'olamaz al avera kalash ha'oisin, so also the Eibishter punishes a tzaddik in this world even for the smallest avera that he does. This way he can be cleaned for olam haba. That's what it means, kelamona, that Hashem is trustworthy. The Rosha gets every bit of punishment that he's supposed to, and the tzaddik gets also every bit of punishment that he's supposed to, in order that he'll have clean slate for olam haba. And when it says ve'ein ovel and there's no injustice, the other way around, k'shem shemashamin tzchal tzaddikim olam haba afil al mitzvah kalash ha'isin, just as the tzaddikim are paid off in olam haba even for the smallest mitzvah that they did, kach shemashamin tzchal rishayim olam haba afil al mitzvah kalash ha'isin. So also the Rosha is paid back in this world even for the smallest mitzvah that he does. He does get that credit. The Eibishter doesn't say he's a Rosha, he doesn't deserve credit for the mitzvah that he did. No, he does get credit for the mitzvah that he did. And he gets rewarded for that.
Says that why the tzaddikim not punished, they're rewarded in this world, so that it should be more punished in the next world.
That's the Rishayim, yeah.
The Rishayim.
So that's what we're saying. We're saying they get reward for whatever the good things they do in this world. And that way, that way they have a clean slate for Olam Haba. But it's also the idea that Eibishter does need to reward them. After all, it wouldn't be fair. It would be unjust for the Eibishter to say, you know what, he's a Rasha, he deserves everything he gets. I'm wiping off his mitzvahs. No, you can't do that. He has to get credit for his mitzvahs. And when the pasuk says tzaddik v'yashahu, that the Eibishter is tzaddik and upright, Amru, they said, b'shas p'tirat v'shal adam, or melamed b'shas p'tirat v'shal adam, we learn from this that when a person passed away, l'beis elamay, to his eternal home, when a person passed away after 120, kol ma'isav nifratin l'fanav, nishtarin, all of his deeds are singled out, come individually before him, and they tell him, either it means the deeds tell him, or it means the Beis Shammaila tells him, kach v'kach ha'tisa b'mokim pleini b'yayim pleini, you did such and such in this place, on this time. Why do they mention the place and the time? Because, you know, different times, different places. You have different kinds of Yetzirah. And also, each place a person is, he's supposed to be accomplishing certain things each time. Every day a person is supposed to be accomplishing things. So when a person doesn't, then he needs to be called to account for it. And the person has to admit, yes, that's what I did. This is where we get the famous verse that the Balei Amos said in more recent generations used to say that a person was like played a video of his life in Olam Haba. So you can see exactly what he did, yeah. But Omim Lechasoim, and then they tell him, sign it, sign off on it. Admit that you're admitting what you did, sign off on it. Lechosim, and sure enough, he signs. Look, Shenema, as the passage says, V'yad kol adam yachtoim, he signs by the hand of every person. And not only that, but a person, when he goes through the Din V'cheshbin in the Beis and Shamayla, accepts on himself the judgment as a righteous judgment. And he says to the Beis and Shamayla, Yofet Antoni, you did well in that. You judged me correctly. You judged me fairly. As the Pasuk says, in order that you'll be righteous in your words. A person doesn't judge about a base in Chamaila and then he says, oh, I don't think I was judged fairly, I want to appeal to a higher court. A person is judged by the base in Chamaila after 120, he realizes that the judgment was a fair judgment. We've been talking about fasting, so now this whole Gemara over here was kind of a digression because we were talking about things that a person shouldn't do during the times when there's a famine in the world, which is partly the subject of our Masechta. Now getting on to fasting, our Mishnah had talked about that the Yechidim fast the three fasts at the beginning, Bahab, and then there goes their Tainus on the Tzibur. So Amar Shmuel. If a person sits in a fast and voluntarily, he's called a choite. He's called a sinner. Why? Savaki hai tana. He holds like the following tana. The tanya. Rabbi Lazar akapa berebi. Rabbi Lazar akapa berebi. Berebi doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Berebi means like the important, the great Talmud Chacham of his generation. Says, Ma Tamad Loim of a Chifer Olam Masha Chot Alan. What does it mean? It says that a Nazir who became Tomei, it says that the Kohen has to make a kapara for him for the fact that he sinned on a soul. The Chibet is a Nefesh Chotah. What is a Nefesh Chotah? What kind of soul did he do commit a sin against? Usually, Chot Alan Afish would imply like he killed somebody. He didn't kill anybody. Elishatir Atmer and Ayayin. Why are we calling him that? We're saying because he afflicted himself, he denied himself wine. Of the three things that a nazir is also in, wine becoming tamei and cutting his hair. Okay, so cutting hair is not such a big thing. Not becoming tamei is also not such a big thing. Not he can't have wine. He's denying himself a pleasure in the world. So then we need to make a kavachomer. If somebody who only afflicted himself by keeping himself away from wine is already called a choite. If somebody who afflicts himself from everything by fasting, how much more so that he's called a choite? That's according to this opinion, yes. Having said that, actually, Hagor Tabach takes out the word sovereignty haitana. He says not necessarily. You could actually have a three-way machlokus. You could have that Shmuel is saying he's called a choite, even though you have Shmuel is saying he's called a choite outright. Rabbi Lazar Akapa might say he is called Kodesh, he is called holy, but he's also called a Choyte. At the same time, he's done a sin. And then you'd have the other opinion that we're going to quote now that he's called Kodesh, period. It's a little bit of both, really. I mean, a person is not supposed to unnecessarily sit in a fast, but on the other hand, you know, when you're fasting for reasons of tshuva, whatever, you know, it can be a good thing. The truth is, I mean, the Alter Rebbe talks about it at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva, that there is a concept of people have the impression, you find in many Sifrei Musar, that you have to fast, and that's considered that when you did an Avera, that the Eibishter was supposed to bring the Yisurim on you, that we learned at the end of Yuma, there are such Averas, that a person should fast, and that'll take away the Yisurim. The Alter Rebbe says that's not what it is, that the Yisurim there is talking about Hashem brings on you Yisurim, not you bring on yourself. However, there is a concept you fast in order, like you bring a korban to the Eibishter. The same way as you say the Yehir Otzen that you say before you take on a fast, we'll talk about it tomorrow in the Gemara, that tefillah you say when you're accepting on the fast, you're saying that the fact that I'm losing some of my fat, some of my blood, should be considered like bringing the fat and blood as the equivalent of a carbon. So there is that. So the person can be fasting as like bringing the equivalent of a carbon. However, ultimately, the Alter Rebbe says, first of all, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to do that because he's preventing himself from learning properly, and that nowadays, the Alter Rebbe says, people are weak, they don't have the koyach to fast and still be Ovid Hashem properly, and therefore better to give tzedakah. And this is why, in general, people don't take on themselves voluntary fasts nowadays. Anyway.
And that's the halacha.
Rabbi Lazar, I'm a Nikra Kaddish. So Rabbi Lazar says, on the other hand, no, a person who fasts is called Kaddish. Shenema Kaddish ye gadol peres ha'arosha. The pasuk says about the Nazir, he will be holy. He grows the hair of his head long. So here you have one person who afflicted himself, he denied himself one thing, wine, and he's called Kaddish. So a person is denying himself everything, how much more so? That he's called Kaddish then. So the Shmuel Ha'ikhi Kaddish. Okay, what does Shmuel do with the pasuk that a Nazir is called Kaddish? The answer is Ha'gido Perakoi. He's called Kaddish. It's not talking about the Nazir is holy. It means the hair of his head is holy, which actually has a nafkamina. It means that the hair is actually also bana. It's considered like a holy object, like Hekdish. Because it's holy, yeah. Ula Rabbalazah. That's Shmuel, yeah. Ula Rav Elazar HaNikra Chayte. What about Rav Elazar drew with the pasuk v'chibra ala mashachat ala nafesh? The answer is, ahu desoiv nafshe. Okay, we're calling him a chayte for the fact that he allowed himself to become tummy. Even though the pasuk is talking about over there, it was by accident, but still he should have been more careful. Where Shmuel would say, in other words, it has a double meaning. He was choyte, yes, in the fact that he was careless and became Tommy, but in addition, he was a choyte to begin with by even becoming a Nazir. I think Master Miyamir Abelazah Achid, did Abelazah really say that? That a person who takes on himself a fast is called Kaddish? La'amir Abelazah, la'olam yamud adam atme, a person should always consider himself, he look Kaddish, shorei v'seif meyav, as though the Holy One, meaning Hashem, as though the Holy One is resting within his stomach. What does that mean? Rashi says it means that he should consider his as if his stomach is holy. So if it's a holy thing, you're not allowed to weaken it by denying it food. Tosfos says Kaddish means Hashem, so to speak. Right? If you have Hashem is in your stomach, so don't deny it. Don't deny your stomach food. There's a place where the Shechina is. Shenema b'kirbach Kaddish v'lo over be'ir. As the pasuk says, we have this pasuk a few days ago. Within your kerev, within your inside is holy v'lo over be'ir, and I will not come into the city. We said the other day that means Hashem joins in the tzara of the Jewish people. As long as we can't come into your shalayim shalmata, He won't go into your shalayim shalmaila. So the same thing, Hashem doesn't want us to be afflicting Himself, because then He'll have to afflict Himself as well. Kavyachol. The answer is like Kasha, hadam mafti l'tzuri nafshei. One is talking about where he's able to stand the fast. Where he's able to hack it, then fine. Then Hashem praises him for that, and he's called a kaddish. But if he can't, if it's going to affect his health or whatever, then not. Then not. Then b'kir b'chakaddish. Then you should be fasting. If it does affect his health, then you shouldn't fast.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Rish Lakish Rish Lakish says that actually a person who fasts is called a chassid. Shenema, goymel nafshe ish chesed, a person who weans his nefesh, goymel maloshen vayigdala yodh vayigomal, is a man of chesed, meaning a chassid, or Rashi's second explanation is goymel, like he's handing over his nefesh to Hashem. V'oicho she'eru is a goymel, and somebody who troubles his flesh is an aser. Which is cruel. So what does that mean? It means it's the same kind of, Rashi says it means the same kind of thing, basically. If he can manage the fast, then he's called a chassid. If not, then he's called an achzer. He's being cruel to himself. Tosfos says, on the contrary, no. It means, fakir, Rish Lakish is saying that if you fast, is not a chassid. That if a person does not fast, he's called a chassid. Why, goymel nafshoy, if a person grants to his chassid, he gives chassid to his soul by not fasting, then he's called a chassid. On the contrary, if he harms his body, after, then he's considered a cruel person. Yeah. Omer of Sheshes, hi barbe rav, Yosef b'tanisa, when a barbe rav, when a tamar chacham, who learns in yeshiva, is sitting and fasting, leicho kalba l'sheruse, a dog should eat his meal. In other words, it's like he's not accomplishing anything by fasting. It's like as if his fast is just like because a dog ate the food and he doesn't have anything to eat. He's not really accomplishing anything useful by it. Another din, Omer of Yom Abba, in Tainus Tibur B'Bavel, El Tisha B'Av B'Vad. There is no Tainus Tibur in Bavel except for Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? When Tisha B'Av is the ultimate kind of fast, you have to stop eating before Shkia, you can't wear shoes, you can't wash, etc. So, Yom Kippur obviously is Midyar Aysa, but a Tainus Tibur, that's Midyar Abana, in other words, the only kind that exists in Bavel is Tisha B'Av. Some of Farshim say the reason for that, Rashi says the reason for that is because they had a lot of rain in Bavel, like we said, so they never had to have fast for rain, so the only one that they have like that is Tisha B'Av. Other Mefarshim say no, because there are other kinds of situations where you could have a fast also. They say the reason is because to declare a fast of the severity of Tisha B'Av, only a Sanhedrin can do that, and it's only a Beis Din of Smuchim, and they only have that in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, any Tainus Tibur outside Eretz Yisrael is only of the kind that we talked about in our Mishnah, that they can eat until Alei Tashachar, and they're allowed to bathe, etc. And v'omer of Yomi v'aba omer shlokish. Ein tamar chacham rashoi leishav b'tainis. A tamar chacham is not allowed to sit and fast. Neshem amayit v'malachas shamayim, because he's reducing the work of Hashem. He's making himself. He's going to be fasting, and now he's not going to be able to learn properly. So therefore, he's not allowed to do that.
Even on Tisha B'Av.
No, obviously we're not talking about the fixed fast. We're not talking about the fast for a tainis sibur either. We're not talking about any kind of tainis sibur. But an elective fast, he shouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, we'll stop over here and we'll make it up the rest tomorrow, Rosh Hashanah.